Good morning. It is April 4th. It is a cold and not quite sunny morning in New York City. And this is your Indignity Morning Podcast. I'm your host, Tom Skoka, taking a look at the day and the news. The Israeli massacre of the 7 aid workers in Gaza is still holding down the lead news slot on the front of the New York Times. Now it's the sad feature story part of the cycle. 7 killed workers had been excited to give Gaza food. A referral note at the bottom of the column points to page A6, where there's a news analysis piece. Is Biden willing to use America's leverage with Israel? It takes a little more than half a page to say no. Obviously, if he were, he would have. And he hasn't, so he isn't. Below that is the story of how Biden apparently told participants at a White House meeting with Muslim community members that First Lady Jill Biden has told him about Gaza, stop it. Stop it now. So you can add her to the list of people that Joe Biden hears, but does not listen to. Back on page one, the second lead news story is Mighty Quake and 201 Shocks Rattle Taiwan, reporting on the 7.4 magnitude quake that hit near Hualien County. The death toll was 9 when the paper went to bed, but has only gone up to 10 overnight, apparently because Taiwan's extensive earthquake preparedness paid off. There is a dramatic front page photograph of a rescue team walking past an uncannily tilted building, but tilted is not pancaked, and a different photo of the same building was on the NBC website, which suggests either a shortage of photographers in Taiwan or a welcome shortage of immediately obvious scenes of devastation. There's a long story about a preliminary study of technology to spray aerosol particles of salt solution skyward, in the hopes of making clouds more reflective, in the hopes of repelling solar radiation, in the hopes of cooling down the planet by some means other than curtailing the consumption of fossil fuels. Like every plan to do more damage to the natural functioning of the planet, to make up for the damage we've done to the natural functioning of the planet, the whole scheme is dangerous and absurd. Then again, the article notes that since the birth of the idea of boosting the clouds with salt in 1990, the concentration of heat-trapping gases in the atmosphere has increased by about 20%. Maybe we could try pouring the salt solution straight into people's gas tanks. Elsewhere, there's a look at how industrial poultry farmers deal with the arrival of bird flu in their flocks. The answer is that to collect government subsidies for culling the birds, to control infection, they just seal off the ventilation in their barns, crank up heaters, and leave the birds to slowly swelter to death. And on page 17, there's a look at the motion filed on Tuesday by the Office of Special Counsel Jack Smith, asking Judge Aileen Cannon to clean up a confusing order in which she had ordered both sides to submit proposed jury instructions, addressing whether Donald Trump's retention of classified papers was protected under the Presidential Records Act, the law designed to prevent presidents from retaining classified material. The Times writes, Judge Cannon's order for jury instructions was odd on its face because such issues are usually hashed out on the eve of trial, and she has not set a trial date yet. It was even stranger, the paper went on, because by appearing to adopt Mr. Trump's position on the Presidential Records Act, the judge seemed to be nudging any eventual jurors toward acquitting Mr. Trump or even leaving open the possibility that she herself could acquit the former president near the end of the proceeding by declaring that the government had failed to prove its case. That Cannon, a Trump appointee, would try to rig the case for Trump was something that everyone feared from the moment the case landed on her desk. But things have gotten weirder since then, as the Times pulls back to explain. Almost from the moment she was assigned the case in June, Judge Cannon, who was appointed by Mr. Trump in his waning days in office, has handled the proceedings in an unorthodox manner. She has put off making several legal and logistical decisions. And she has spent time at hearings entertaining a series of unusual arguments by Mr. Trump's lawyers that many federal judges would have rejected out of hand. Basically, there seems to be a complicated interaction going on between Donald Trump's having stocked the federal bench with partisan hacks, and those hacks being incompetent and fundamentally unqualified for the job. Even if Cannon's mission is to rig the trial for Donald Trump, the problem is she got the job with almost no experience of how any trial works, let alone an extremely complicated trial involving classified material, presidential powers, and obstruction of justice. As time goes by, the delays in the trial preparations seem less and less like an effort to protect Trump until after Election Day and more like she's sitting on stacks of papers that she has no idea what to do with, ignoring motions from Trump's team and prosecutors alike. The Times writes, should they run out of patience altogether, prosecutors could at some point file a motion asking Judge Cannon to remove herself from the case. She would probably reject that effort, requiring the government to go over her head and make the same request to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit, which sits above her. Typically, the Times continues, recusal motions require prosecutors to point to flawed decisions. And so far, Judge Cannon has largely avoided making decisions, complicating any effort to get rid of her. That is the news. Thank you for listening. Please subscribe to Indignity to keep us going. And if all goes well, we will talk again tomorrow.